Miss me.
I think I picked out a pretty good sermon, right? Pastor Walt did a good job. So, all right. Well, first off, I need to know what the last few digits of the IP address is. 1200? Huh? 120, okay, thank you, 120. I didn't do that one during the break. There are a couple of things that I'd like to announce. Tom Eves, who was one of our elders, they moved in this last year. They moved over to Phoenix. Tom took on another detail, but his wife's sister was in a motorcycle accident with her husband, and both of them were killed. So if you would keep them in prayer, I very much appreciate it. Wednesday is the memorial service. They left early this morning to fly back, I don't know if it's Midwest or East, but back in that direction and in Ohio. So, and then I know that Stacy and Matt are flying out as well. So just keep their family in prayer, please. And would appreciate that. In fact, if you would just bow with me right now, let's do that. Father God, we come before you. We just ask that you would be with the Eves family as they mourn the loss of two very incredibly awesome people, it sounds like. We do thank you that they both knew you and had a relationship with you, and we know where they are, but that still doesn't quite alleviate the grief and the hole that is left, and we pray that you just bring them comfort. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, Dave, it didn't work. 120. 1731. Yes, there it is. That works. Okay, good. All right, two other things. The other one is some of you may have been hearing about a... It's still not working. I'll just use the clicker. That's right. Some of you may have been hearing about a tent revival that is an inner church tent revival that's going to be going on in October. There's some names that the flyers have been passing around. There's some names of churches that are supporting it. It is being actually put on by the Foursquare Church. Anyway, it's important to you understand my conviction about teaching the truth. And after doing some research, the evangelist that is going to be there is... Well, I'm just going to say it's a false teacher. So we as a church, because of our truth, because we want to stand up for the truth and abide by the truth, we're not participating in this. I mean, if you want to, go ahead, but we're, as a church, not going to be participating in this tent revival. There are other churches that are pulling out as a result as well. So I'm just letting you know, if you see some advertisement on that, that's the reason why our name is not on there, why we're not part of that. We want to stand for truth, and we are very strong in that. So you're welcome. Okay, and the third thing is, starting October 5th, we will be starting a new series, and I'm calling some of my sci-fi rootiness is coming out here, and I'm going to call it the Lightwalker series, because John and 1 John talks about walking in the light. And so I'm really excited about this. It's a real compliment to what we've been going through in 1 Timothy, and I think it's going to be just an awesome series. So I'll be geared up for that starting October 5th. What that means is John is only about 5 short chapters. It means you can read it in between now and the 5th and get a feel for what we're going to be talking about. So, and we're going to actually finish that up by the end of the year, so we can start a new series come January. So that's really exciting. All right. Well, let's get into our lesson today. If you are visiting with us, we are going through 1 Timothy, and we've called this series the Household Rules Series because Paul says, I am writing to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the household of God. And it's been broken up into about 17, this is the 17th rule, possibly 18 next week, and 18 will be the end of this series. And our rule today is make Jesus your treasure. Now, I wanted to begin this by kind of comparing the rest of the world to, or I should say, comparing the United States and American culture to the rest of the world. So I did some digging, some research. I found out that 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. 80% of all humans live on less than $10 a day. Now, I thought, okay, you look at a statistic like that, and they're not taking into consideration the worth of the dollar and the economy. I said, well, actually, I found out these surveys do take into consideration that. And what they try to do is develop a comparison. If they were using the American dollar, what would it be? How much would it be that they live on? So 80% of the world lives on $10 a day. Almost 50% of that, 80% lives on only or less than $2.50 a day. $2.50 a day. So that's 50% of that. The poverty line in America is anyone living under $30 a day. Yeah. 15% of Americans are considered to be living in poverty. I point this out because this passage that we're looking at today, Paul commands Timothy to teach the rich something. And I thought, you know, as we're reading this, maybe there will be some in here who think, this doesn't really apply to me, I'm not rich. But you, compared to the rest of the world, are very rich. You know, there's very few people that I personally know that don't have anything to eat, that don't have a roof over their head, that don't have clothes. Now, they may be struggling to put food on the table. They may be struggling to make rent. They may be struggling to buy new clothes. But the fact is, they have those things. We are a very wealthy country. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 17. Paul writes, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Now, I know there are still some people in our culture who, even after reading statistics like that, would say, "I'm still poor." But wealth does not necessarily have to mean money. In fact, I would extend the idea of wealth to things as gifting. And if that's the case, everyone here is wealthy in some way. We have people who are very gifted, people who are artists, people who are musically inclined. You know, when we think of giftedness, that's what we usually think of, but there are also other people here who have just an ability to organize things, to administrate, to manage. There are people here who are very good with money and word processing, not word processing, but databases, and I'm talking about Melissa because she is awesome. She is our bookkeeper, and she's just an awesome person who has a real gift at that. So, everybody here has some gift, and I know sometimes it's hard for us to realize what that gift is, because I think much of the time we're looking at other people's giftedness, and we're just going, "Oh, I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to have a gift like that." But the fact is, God has gifted us all in some way, and we are, in some ways, I would say, wealthy with that gift. And another way that's very important is just we are wealthy in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. So this passage applies to every single one of us this morning. When Paul says to Timothy, "As for the rich in this present age," Paul is speaking to us all. Or your outline should say me. I don't know how that got up there. Paul is speaking to, or this is directed towards me. This is directed towards me, and that means that I need to take a listen. I need to hear what is being said, because I am wealthy in some sense in this present age. Paul says, as for the rich in this age, charge them. That's the wrong PowerPoint. Oh my goodness. All right, never mind. We're not using PowerPoint. I don't know what. I gave you guys the wrong thing. I'm not sure what happened there. It was the preliminary. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so he says, as for the rich in this age, charge them to be haughty. This is the reason why I highlight and bring an outline up with me, just in case. So charge them not to be haughty. And what it means really is haughty means arrogant superiority. And you don't have to be rich to be arrogantly superior or to act arrogantly superior. You can be rich in your talent and be arrogantly superior. You can be rich in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and be arrogantly superior. We've met people like that. Hopefully we aren't like that. But I will tell you, there are moments when I feel arrogantly superior to the rest of the world because I know Jesus Christ. I got to be careful, real careful, about how that plays out. Avoid the temptation of arrogant superiority that comes with wealth. You and I know people who, because of their talent or their money or whatever, they think they're better than others. What you may not understand is that we as Americans collectively have this attitude towards the rest of the world. When I've been on many mission trips. I've been to Philippines 3 times. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Hungary. I've been to Mexico a number of times. And I would tell you that even the most well-meaning, most humble Christians, when they get into, American Christians, when they get into a third world culture, there is just an automatic feeling of superiority. We know how to do things better than the rest of the world. When we were in Haiti, we had to go help put in a foundation for a house. We were 1 or 2 days, I think, and they were doing a whole different kind of foundation because it was after the earthquake, and so they were trying to figure out how to make the foundation strong and sturdy, so if there was another earthquake, the houses wouldn't hit. And so they were like digging these really deep trenches, and they were stacking them with rocks, and they were filling the foundation with cement. And while we were working, all of us American guys, they'd be filling up buckets with cement, and we'd go over there and pour it in and come back. And they were only filling up the buckets halfway. And we were like, no, that's not going to cut it. Fill it up all the way, please. And they kept saying, no, halfway, halfway. And we kept saying, no, fill it up, because we knew better, right? We knew more work could get done if you filled up the bucket, you know. And within an hour and a half, we were all dragging our behinds, and the Haitians were still working steady, you know. We think we always know better, and it's in small things. It's very interesting, and I think in part it's because we are an affluent nation. We have so much more than the rest of the world, and having that much more causes an arrogant superiority at times. What are we rich in as a country? How affluent are we? Now, when we talk about the word affluence, we usually think of money, but really the definition of affluence is just to have an abundance of. Just to have an abundance of. And as Americans, we have abundance of a lot of things. For instance, you brought your car to church today. In fact, some of our families brought 2 cars to church today. Many of us have brought our nicest clothes just for today. Many of us are wearing our nicest jewelry. Many of us have cell phones or tablets with us. Many of us have our pockets or purses containing wallets or checkbooks or money. at least in the form of credit. In this country, we have an abundance of freedom. Now, we may not think so, but the truth is we still are one of the most freest countries in the world. We have an abundance of education available. Again, some of us think that our schools aren't doing the job that they should be, and maybe that's true, but the fact is information is available to all. You can go online and you can figure out pretty much anything, how to do pretty much anything you want just by looking online. We have an abundance of education in this country, much more than most of the world. We have an abundance in our political system, democracy. We have the ability, if we want, to fight for what we believe. Depends on if we want to take the steps to do it or not. We have an abundance of liberty. We have an abundance of self-expression. We are an affluent nation. And if anything, this verse applies to us just for that reason. Just for that reason alone, as Americans. Paul tells us to avoid the temptation of arrogant superiority that comes with wealth. And let me say any type of wealth. He goes on. What happened to my PowerPoint? Oh, never mind. Yeah. All right. Man alive. Okay. I know. I took one off last Sunday. It should, anyway. All right. He goes on to say, charge them, and I'm going to insert the word not here, but charge them not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. You know, riches can get us quite far in this world and in this life. But when it comes to the really important things, they can do nothing. And the most important thing, wealth and riches, they have no part in getting what is most important. What is most important? Salvation. Wealth is useless in gaining what is truly important, salvation. Salvation is a free gift that comes from Jesus Christ. And if we think that we can receive salvation because of some wealth we have, we are greatly mistaken. Paul moves on. He says, charge them to set their hopes on God, who richly provides everything to enjoy. Well, if wealth can't do it, what can? And obviously the answer is God. And notice what Paul is saying here. I know that when we read this, because I made this mistake too, I focus on the God who richly provides everything to enjoy. That's what I focused on at first. And I'm not going to say that there's not a wrong idea in here. God has given us stuff to enjoy. Everything that he has given us. James said, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything that he has given us, we should enjoy. But we should not worship it. And we should not live our life for it. Because it cannot get us what is truly important. The only thing that can truly get us what is important is the God who provides everything that we enjoy. Only God can provide necessary salvation, as he is the provider of everything else we have or enjoy. That's what Paul is trying to say here. Think about everything that you have, and then think about where it truly comes from. It comes from God. God is the only one, because he provides everything else, he is the only one that can provide salvation. And it is so important for us to understand this, to get this into our head, because once we understand this, it leads us into the proper understanding of how we use our wealth, whether it's monetary, whether it's giftedness, whether it's Jesus Christ, God's Son. Knowing that all I have is from God should lead me to four things. Paul says, do good. knowing that everything is from God and that He is the only one, He is the one who provides it, should lead me, should lead my thinking, should cause me to do good. And what does that mean? Use what has been given to benefit others. To do good means to benefit others. In the Christian context, the world would say, do good, meaning to benefit me. But as we understand and know, what lies behind sin is selfishness. So the good that a Christian seeks out is the benefit of others. When we have any type of wealth, not just monetary, any type of wealth, we are to use it to do good. We are to use what has been given to us to benefit others. Paul goes on, he says, be rich in good works. So he just said, do good. Now he says to be rich in good works. And really what he's saying is just make sure that much of what you do benefits others. Make sure that much of what you do benefits others. So don't just benefit others, but make sure that much of what you do benefits others. He goes on, be generous. Be generous. Give it and don't be stingy about it. If it's from God, it's not truly ours. And about a couple years ago, we're going through Hebrews, and there was a sermon that I preached because the author of Hebrews kind of touched on this. And basically, the concept was there is a storehouse of God's that is available to us. Our job is not to go and grab from the storehouse for our use. Our job is to grab from the storehouse to use for others. Because it's available. And Jesus himself said to us, don't worry about tomorrow. Look at the grass of the field and the way it's clothed with the flowers. And look at the birds of the air and the way that they are taken care of. Food and home. And then Jesus said, how much more important are you than them? Don't worry. Your Father who in heaven, He knows your needs. And He will provide. So don't be stingy with what you have. Give it. Give it away. Because God has an abundance more. His storehouse never empties. And then Paul says also, be ready to share. Now, I think this is interesting. He just said, be generous. What's the difference? Well, when you can be generous, especially when you have excess, right? All right, I don't really need this stuff, so I guess I'll just give it away, help somebody out. But Paul says here, be ready to share. And I think what he is saying is don't just give the excess, but be ready to share the essential. Well, what do you mean? I mean, if you've got something and somebody else doesn't have it, and you need it, if you really have faith in God, you can take what you have that is needed and give to others because God will meet our needs. Don't just give the excess, but be ready to share the essential. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. When you do this, verse 19, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. Now, this verse was a little confusing to me. Storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. What treasure are we storing up? And by the way, does this mean that when I do good things, that's what I should be thinking, that I'm going to store up treasure in heaven? Maybe a more proper way to translate this would be treasure up. I should treasure up the only sure foundation. And that only sure foundation is what? Jesus Christ. Treasure up the only sure foundation, who is Jesus. Why is that so important? Paul says that if we store up treasure for themselves as a good foundation, it is for the future. It is for the future. The result is a sure hope concerning what lies beyond this life. a sure hope of what lies beyond this. When we understand that we have been given everything that we need in the future. Everything has been given to us. Salvation and then everything we will ever need for eternity with God. It gives us a whole new perspective on this life. A completely different perspective on this life. When we know everything is taken care of in the future, it should encourage us to have no fear in this life. To be confident in this life. It helps us develop that mindset that what we have is not truly ours. Paul goes on, he says, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Okay, let me read that whole thing together. Thus storing up treasure for themselves, or treasuring up a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Right now there's a world that is living for really no reason at all. You've got some people who are just living for the party of life. Just, I mean, there's nothing else, right? There's nothing beyond this life. Why don't we just live it up and have fun, and when we die, we're dust. You know, some people are living for power. Just the short period of time they're here, they can control others. Some people are living for fame. Some people are living for monetary wealth. But in the end, all that stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So what really truly makes this life worth living? It has to be something that impacts the future after this life is over. Doesn't that make sense? Nothing that we gain here is going to go with us when this life is over. So we have to be doing something. To really truly live life means to be doing something that impacts the future. Confidence in the future allows me to make something of this present life. It allows me to make something of this present life, and that something is I can focus on being Jesus' disciple and help others become his disciple as well. The big struggle for us Christians, I think, is the struggle between continuing to live with that worldly mindset and learning how to really live with that heavenly mindset. Many of us are still living like all there is what's here right now. We're trying hard to be wealthy in many different areas. But we forget, in the end, it means nothing. Yeah, it might be passed on to your kids, but in the end, for them, it means nothing. What really means something is a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who saves. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So what do we do with all this? First off, I'd like you to ask yourself a question. Do I willfully deny my wealth as an excuse not to use it properly? Think about that. Really think about that. Do I willfully deny my wealth as an excuse not to use it properly? Now, maybe that's the wrong question, because maybe we've just been ignorant of the fact that we are so wealthy. But I think there's some of us who just want to ignore the fact that we're wealthy, just so that we don't really have to use it the way we should. Is it evident that I have a proper understanding of what Jesus does for me by the way I view and use my wealth? Your brother or sister looks at you. Is it evident to them that you have a proper understanding of what Jesus did for you? And is the evidence in the way you view and use what you have? I can point out some people in this congregation that I know for sure because of their proper understanding of Jesus Christ, uses what they have properly. But do you do that? If not, what changes do I need to make in the use of wealth to reflect my treasuring up the true foundation, who is Jesus Christ? So there were many ways to title this message. One of them was be rich in Christ. But I had a real hard time with that, because what is Paul really trying to get here? Paul really is trying to say, make Jesus your treasure. Make him, maybe this is even a better way to put it, make Jesus your wealth. Make Jesus your wealth. Don't become wealthy because you know Jesus. That could imply a lot of things, especially in today when we've got the prosperity gospel being preached. Be rich with Jesus. He is our treasure. There is nothing greater than him. He's the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. And there is nothing on earth that can compare to him. Is Jesus your treasure? Make Jesus your treasure. That is how a member of God's household operates. Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know there are some people who really want to believe that when we come to you, you make this instantaneous change in our lives. But the evidence shows that a majority of Christians, there is a change that takes place, but we still struggle. I mean, we've been steeped in, some of us have been steeped in the world's philosophy for years. And even those who have grown up in the church, many of them have had parents who are still struggling with not thinking the way the world thinks, but learning to think the way that you've commanded us to think. Lord, first off, I just pray that you would help us to understand and see that we are wealthy. Maybe not in the sense that the world talks about, but we are wealthy. We're a wealthy nation. We're an affluent nation. The vast majority of us makes three times or more than what the rest of the world makes. You've gifted each one of us. Some of us don't want to see the gift that you've given us, wanting another type of gift, but the fact is you have gifted us. We're wealthy in that way. And we certainly are wealthy in knowing you. God, help us to live, understanding that what has been given, not earned, but given. And yes, it's been given for our enjoyment, but most of all, it has been given by you who provides everything. It is not ours. Help us to understand that. And help us to really understand that the accumulation of wealth in this world means nothing in the next. Help us to be good, to do good works, to give and to be generous in our giving, ready to share. Most of all, help us share the thing that makes us wealthier than anyone else in this world, and that's you. Give us opportunity throughout our week to keep putting a plug in for you. Give us opportunity to tell people about just how wonderful and great and awesome you are and how much you've given. And I pray that when people look at our lives and they see that, they see that we're generous and that we share. And even there are even times when we take what is essential for our survival and give it to others to help them survive, that they see a real tangible example of the type of love that you have for us. You gave your son, Jesus Christ, on the cross so that we might have life and life eternal. And as children of your household, may we be exemplified by the fact that we have made you our treasure. Thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. See you next week.